You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome on in to a fresh week of the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED, the number 15, gets you 15% off your next order. Tim Leonard and Tyler Rocky, not a lot of news over the weekend. Ty, I was surprised. I was waiting on some transfer portal news.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like things are slowing down a little bit, but who knows? I mean, there'll probably, we're recording this Sunday night, there'll probably be news that breaks in, what, like half an hour once we're done? I mean, that's
maybe
just the
less
way it
than
goes
that,
with us.
Honestly.
Yeah,
I think breaking news.
We might need to fire like a breaking news sounder on the show today.
Right. I think we're all waiting on Jimmy Boeheim because he posted that Instagram late last week saying his decision is coming soon, which I don't think he's going to Duke. I don't think he's going. I think we know where he's going. So it's all sort of not when, but if, or not if, but when on his
front.
Worst
kept secret. I'll keep saying it. Worst kept secret.
It really is. So we're going to get into, on today's show, we tweet out something from our account, which, by the way, if you're new to the podcast, subscribe and follow us on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse is our Twitter page. We'll keep you guys updated on all the transfer portal news. We'll be tweeting out some fun stuff during the off season. You get links and reminders
tell
to
your
when
friends.
The podcast goes up. Yeah.
Tell your friends too, because we are knocking on the door of 1,000 right now.
Really? Wow. Oh, the follower
1,000
count.
Followers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Maybe we should do something. I think we could have planned this out more, but that 1,000 follower, we could give out a little gift or something.
Maybe 2,000. That's a 2,000 follower
okay.
thing.
Okay. 2,000.
Yeah.
We'll make a verbal pact.
We'll have a little giveaway for the 2,000th.
Yeah.
Not for the 2,000th follower. It'll put everyone in a pool to win something.
Oh, I like that. Our verbal pact is better than Dior Johnson's verbal pact. We'll give you that for sure.
Yes.
But not to start
Darius
the show
Baisley's
on a negative note. Yeah, or Darius, yeah. So anyway, we tweet out the Syracuse roster next year. What we know, as of us recording right now, this is what I tweeted out, and this went out on Saturday, and we'll get into some of the Twitter replies today. And I think today's show, we'll just talk about what are going to be some of these positional battles shaping up to be, and then we'll maybe do a little stainer going at the end of the guys that we're still waiting on and where our minds are at for those guys. But the starting five that I put out was Joe Girard, Buddy Boeheim. That's pretty much standard. I don't think anyone has any question marks about that. Samir Torrence coming off the bench. Benny Williams at the starting forward spot. That second starting forward spot right now, I put Cole Swider because we don't know about Quincy. We don't know about Alan Griffin. We don't officially know about Jimmy Boeheim yet. And then center, I put Barama in the starting five, which I got some pushback here on Twitter. And I actually, in my starting five, I would definitely have Jesse Edwards. I just more so tweeted out thinking that I would get pushback if I put Jesse. So I guess it was the other
way
around.
You kind of put it from the coaching lens. Like, that's how the coaching staff probably sees it right now. I mean, if Jesse wasn't good enough to start over Marek, he's not going to be starting over Barama on the opener. If Barama is fully healthy, all systems go, Barama's probably going to be the starter for the opener. Now, I'm not saying that's right, not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying if I was a coach, that's probably the lineup I'm rolling out there.
Yeah, and we got a good response from Tom H. He said, I hope Frank stays, and if not, hope they look for a transfer big as an insurance policy if Barama's knee doesn't hold out. Rolling into the season with just him and Jesse without Marek to bail them out is playing with fire. I kind of agree, and when you say if Barama's healthy, he'll start, that's such a gigantic if that I hesitate to even really put him in the starting lineup. I think we all want Jesse to be the guy next year, and it's nice to now know that Barama is there, but we've talked about this a lot. It doesn't feel like we can totally count on Barama just based on some of the quotes he said saying, I might be ready for the season. Like, it's just kind of a what if with him still, which has me a little bit concerned.
Especially, here's the way I would look at it too. There's so many transfer options out there, okay? And I don't think Syracuse is done adding, like, I don't think they've made their last move in the transfer portal. There's obviously, and I'm not including Jimmy Boeheim in that conversation, but I'm looking at it this way. If you go into the season with only Barama and Jesse as the guys that you have that are capable of playing center, That's going to be a problem for two reasons. One, we know their fouling histories, all right? Not a sparkling review on either side. And two, the health issues with Barama, like if he can't go for the majority of the season, you can't go into the year with only Jesse Edwards as your center. You just can't because A, like I mentioned, he has the foul problems, and B, I mean, he's got to sit out at certain points, and it's not like he's some polished guy out there. He still has a lot of developing to do. He showed some flashes last season, but he still has another step to take. So you can't go into the season with only Barama and Jesse, and guess what? There are plenty of awesome bigs on the market, and it seems like they're added every single day. I mean, heck, we saw Garrison Brooks enter the transfer portal, and I think that would be a guy that traditionally I would love to have on a Syracuse team. I don't think it's likely that he would end up with SU, but that would be an awesome piece to add. I just don't see it as a possibility, but that just shows you the nature of the talent and the depth at the center position in the transfer portal at this given time, and we're still early in this process.
All right, a quick break here, guys, to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action right now. I was relying on betonline.ag over the weekend for some fun Masters bets. They had everything covered. I know football's over now, but you still got NBA, you got NHL in full swing, and BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They do some fun stuff, and you can even tweet at their account and ask for them to throw in a little prop bet, and they'll usually do it. They're really active on social media as well. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And when you go to their website and sign up for your free account, don't forget about our promo code. It's Locked On, all one word. It gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's some real savings with our promo code. Again, that is Locked On, all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. The only troubling thing about the transfer portal and the big situation is how do you convince a big to come when playing time isn't a given? Like, Barama is there. You don't know how much he's going to be healthy. Jesse's there. It's just a tough situation. I think best case scenario center-wise is Frank Anselm comes back. And
I'm
then
with you.
If Frank Anselm comes back, then to me, they probably won't add another transfer the rest of the year.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Outside of Jimmy Boeheim, which again,
right,
we're assuming Jimmy Boeheim's on the roster. And at that point, because really, let's look at just the guards for a second.
Well, you might get like a grad transfer, like someone with very minimal eligibility.
Yeah, but how do you even convince them to come? Because the rotation, we know, we got some replies. I think it was Ryan Q's tweet us and said, let's say Quincy or Allen comes back along with Jimmy and Frank. How deep of a rotation do you think Boeheim would use? Would he play 9 or stick to 7 or 8? I've just, every time someone asks me that question for the rest of eternity, I'm saying 7 or 8. And I think it's totally logical to look at that roster with the stipulations that he incorporated there and say, yeah, you could get to 8 or 9 for sure. But we do it every offseason, and then somehow it whittles down to 7 or 8, and that's what we're rolling with into March. And really, this year was about as deep as Boeheim has gone in a while, and that was 8 with a couple like spare minutes to a 9th guy here or there, depending on injuries, considering that Barama was out all year. We kind of got to 8 without him. But I just, how do you convince another transfer
to
come?
Well, my counter to that is that there's always the mid-major guy looking to level up. Who wants, like, he'll accept a backup role at a bigger school because he wants to play in the bigger atmosphere. He wants to play in a dome setting. He wants to go and play against Duke, against Carolina, against Virginia. There's always the mid-major guy who's willing to be the backup at the next level. And I think maybe that's, like, you're not adding a starter unless maybe at the center position, but you're in all likelihood not adding any starters in the transfer portal at this point because of who you have on your roster right now and what you're due to bring in. I think that you are looking for backups, and anyone that they are going after right now, playing time isn't promised per se. So I'm not saying that there's you're going to make some big sexy ad, but at the same time, I do think like you have to fill out the roster somehow. You can't only go into the season with 8 guys. Like, we've got the 8 that are for sure locked in for next season. I think we can say 8 convincingly. I guess if you want to throw 9 with Jimmy Boeheim. Actually, yeah. Let's sub out Chaz Owens. We'll sub in Jimmy Boeheim. So there's 8 right there that you are very, you can say with 95% certainty will be on this roster for next season. Griffin, Quincy, and Frank are kind of up in the air. I would guess 2 of the 3 are probably gone. Maybe you bring one back. But you're probably not rolling into the season with 8 scholarship guys. I just don't see that as being the way that you head into 2021. I see you adding 1 or maybe 2 other guys just to fill out the roster. I mean, you can barely practice with 8 guys. You need, well, like 10 scholarship guys.
Well, Chaz Owens is a scholarship player, and they've already, I think, committed a scholarship to him next year, according to reports from Mike Waters, that he's coming back. So let's count him. I agree, and I think we got a Twitter response, like, why is Chaz Owens included?
But he's never going to play. That's the thing.
No, he's not a rotation guy.
He's never going to, right.
For the
purpose
of your... So
I don't even count him as a part of that.
Well, okay, but just for the purpose of...
It was kind of like how Sean Belby technically had a scholarship with Syracuse. He was never going to play, but he technically had a scholarship with Syracuse.
All right, so let's not include him then. Let's bring in Jimmy Boeheim in that spot, mm-hmm. as you said. We definitely have eight guys, and I would say all 8 of those guys for sure are rotation players next year, in my mind. Yes. Barama mm-hmm. is iffy because of his health, but excluding the health concerns, if he's healthy, I think he's a rotation guy, especially because
no doubt.
We're looking at potentially him being the backup center or one of just 2 centers, which you'd really need to play him then because Jesse can't be out there.
I mean, if he's healthy, he's probably starting.
Yeah, right. And then I would say, I mean, there's a chance that Samir Torrence just doesn't pan out, but then who are you going to as the backup guard? Like, you almost need him. At some level,
you do.
Given what...
Yeah.
So, all these guys are rotation guys, in my mind. And we're already at 8, including Jimmy Boeheim. And that's not knowing what Griffin, Quincy, and Frank Anselm are doing. I don't even think they really need to add another transfer guy. Like, maybe you add one of those mid-major guys if it's the perfect fit. But I don't want him to take up multiple years of eligibility and maybe remove a spot from the 2022 class. I'm kind of fine with rolling with 8 scholarship players if it's 8, 9 if it's 9. I don't really care what the number ends up being.
Well, to me, I mean, I look at it as how are you going to have a functioning practice with just the 8 guys that you have? I mean, you have to have still a number of guys that you can throw out there. And I'm looking at, you want to have, I know that Syracuse doesn't necessarily use its depth, but you need it for practice purposes. And I think you are going to see them go out and add somebody. I don't know who it's going to be, but I think you are right. It's going to be somebody with limited eligibility, whether it's a grad transfer, whether it's a guy who's got 2 years or something of the sort. That's the type of guy I would look at for Syracuse to add. I'm not saying he's going to get a ton of playing time.
Right.
I'm just saying I think that there's going to be someone that's coming in.
Unless it's a center, I don't think they're playing, really, because...
No, yeah, I agree. I agree.
And
maybe you get, like,
tough.
A guard.
Like, if you're...
I would look for a guard. I think a guard would suit this team well.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think it's needed, but also I just don't know who it is. Because if, let's say you're that mid-major guard, you're someone that's like Howard Washington skill level, and you're just exploring your options in the transfer portal, there's got to be another school out there, power conference-wise, that is in more need of a guard and has a deeper rotation. Like, they go 10 deep that just is more appealing to you, in my mind. And I get Syracuse has a lot of lore and legacy in the Dome, and I'm not discrediting that. I'm trying not to. It's just, I don't really know why a guard would come just to be a practice player. Like,
well,
there's got to be a better option.
I know that, but also, I mean, the selling point, the way they're not going to say, hey, we need you to put the practice penny on every day and then you're not going to see the floor. The way that's going to be sold to said guard is you've got a chance to compete and be the sixth man. They're like the first guard off the bench. Because, listen, like, have we seen Buddy and Joe play 40 minutes a night? Sure. But, I mean, Boeheim can point to last season and say, look how many games Joe only played 20 to 25 minutes. So we do need a backup guard. You can come in and you can compete with Samir Torrence to be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's probably more of a case than I'm making it out to be. I just don't think we should have any lofty expectations for a transfer the rest of the way.
No, yeah, listen, I'm not saying you're going to go out there and find yourself a Johnny Juzang in the transfer. Like, Syracuse isn't bringing that sort of player in. They're looking and probably bringing in a backup guard, a seventh, eighth, ninth man. Or they might bring in someone who might not even play. Like, that's what's going to be brought, unless it's a center. That's what's going to be brought in. I think this team needs a little more guard depth. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see some sort of competition with Samir Torrence for that next guard spot. Or, I mean, you just need another guard because there's also the unpredictable, like foul trouble and all that stuff. So I'm looking at it from that lens, too. You need some depth because there are these emergency situations that can arise.
Yeah, I really hope Frank comes back. Because then I'd feel a lot better about the center situation.
Hey, quick break to tell you about the best tasting protein bar ever. It is Built Bar, and they just keep on rolling them out. There's new flavors seemingly every month with Built Bar. Now they've got 6 new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. You can't go wrong with 12 of their original flavors as well. They're covered in 100% chocolate, and they are soft and easy to chew. Plus, Built Bar is perfect for the health-conscious guy, and it's also excellent if you're trying to lose or maintain weight while also indulging in a great treat. They're low-calorie, high-fiber, and they're great even if you're on a keto diet as well. And right now, Built Bar is offering you this great deal. Use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com for 15% off your next order.
So you want to get into staying or going? I think we all think Jimmy Boeheim's coming. That was the first name I put on the waiting on list. In the case of Frank, I'm, like I said, very much hoping. I don't feel great because the tweets, and apparently he was on an Instagram Live that I did not get to watch, but there were a lot of tweets surfacing about him chatting with Kadari and Woody on an Instagram Live and not saying glowing things about Syracuse, allegedly. I again, did not see it. But he did tweet something out right after Kadari announced his transfer, or the news went public about Kadari's transfer, and it was something to the effect of the dominoes are starting to fall. Woody's domino has fallen too, and I would assume that those guys hang out together, they plan things together, they're the freshman class, and it just doesn't make me feel good that two of them are gone, and they're probably all buddies, I'm assuming, that's an assumption, but still, I don't feel great about it, but also, if I'm Frank, I would come back, because as we're laying out here, if Barama's not healthy, he's very much needed next year.
Who's got the highest ceiling of the centers on this team? It's Frank Anselm, no doubt in my mind. And I'd say maybe Jesse.
It's close, like, yeah.
But in terms of, if you could see one of those, if you had to pick one of those guys to be at some point an all-ACC center, I would probably pick Frank because the potential's there. I think he's got a lot of the things that you can't teach, and I think he's got a more polished basketball background than the other two do. So I have always liked the potential and the thought and the idea of Frank Anselm. I want to see him, because remember, he was supposed to be a senior in high school last year. He just needed a year to kind of acclimate and learn what it's like to run with the big boys for a little bit. I think once the training wheels are off with him, you could see a really, really strong center for this Syracuse team. But like you also said, there aren't a lot of glowing things or a lot of glowing evidence that suggests he's coming back. I mean, we can put on our social Sherlock hats right here. It doesn't look good. It doesn't. Would I like that to not be the reality? Absolutely. I would love to have Frank Anselm back on this team. In fact, when I look at the guys that we're kind of waiting on here, you could almost peg him as the number one guy when you look at Griffin, Quincy, Frank, of the guys that you'd want to come back most. I think there is a case that it's Frank Anselm.
There might be a case. I would still
at least for the long-term health of the team.
Yeah. I think Quincy's number one for me, because if Quincy comes back, that elevates next year's team.
It does. No, it absolutely does, yeah.
I mean, he's an all-ACC guy returning to your lineup, so he's number one for me. Griffin would probably be slightly, maybe Frank too, because of the long-term appeal, and we can get in. I don't really feel great about Quincy or Griffin coming back either, which, again, I know I just kind of sound pessimistic on this podcast, but my mindset on it the entire time has been Griffin. I didn't think he was coming back once the season ended. The case for why these guys might come back is, why haven't we heard them announce yet? I guess Quincy we have heard from, but it's like, if you're Frank Anselm and the dominoes are starting to fall, well, why hasn't your domino fell yet? Like, what are you waiting on? And maybe he's just mulling it over and making the right decision, which is totally good and well, and that's what he should be doing. It's a huge decision. I just think it's fascinating how long it took Woody to make that decision, and now we haven't heard from Frank, and maybe it's not really that long of a time, but it feels like it's a long time, and kind of the way that the transfer portal works as the days and weeks go by very quickly here. I would say Griffin, starting with him, another kind of ominous tweet was sent out when he said, "I'm rolling the dice," or something to that effect.
Bet on yourself. It was something along those lines.
Yeah, with the dice, I think, was the emoji. Yeah. Thanks. Which I don't know if he's just rolling up to Vegas this weekend, but that would be the best case scenario from that tweet. I'm worried about him, although I don't really know if he's playing college basketball next year, period. I feel like he might just try to make his way onto a G League roster.
I'm with you. I'm looking at the Griffin situation, and I say the longer it plays out, and I kind of said this the first time we played our staying or going and getting the pulse of where we sat on each player, but I think he's played for his last college. Now, that doesn't mean his college career is over in my eyes. I think that he still could end up playing at Syracuse again, but Syracuse will be the last college team he plays for. I think he's trying to get more feedback, more information about what his pro prospects are like, whether it's overseas, whether it's the G League. Because guess what? He's the son of an NBA coach. He can get this feedback. He can get the insight of all these different scouts and kind of help himself out for the future. So I look at Griffin and I think he's trying to go pro. That's just the way I'm viewing it. Now, the bet on yourself tweet that you pointed out, I think that can be interpreted one of two ways. A, it can mean I'm going to go pro even though the odds are stacked against me right now. I think I can carve out a nice little professional career, whether it's the NBA, overseas, G League, whatever. But I also think it could be competition for a starting spot on the Syracuse team. That's another way. Yeah. I think that is not being interpreted enough, is him going blow for blow in practice with Benny, with Cole Swider. Because didn't he tweet that right after the Swider news? It was very, very shortly after, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he did, yeah.
So it could be one of those things like, hey, I'm going to work my tail off to try to get a starting spot because everyone's kind of pushing me out of this starting lineup because we've got this really good five-star coming in. We've got this big-time guy that the fan base loves and Cole Swider coming in. So I think that is another way that could be interpreted as well.
Yeah, the other reason why I don't feel great about Quincy or Alan Griffin coming back is the fact that they got Cole Swider, and they went after Cole Swider knowing that they probably already had the understanding about Jimmy Boeheim coming too. So they said, okay, we got Benny and Jimmy at the forward spot next year, which I guess you could add Cole Swider if you had Alan or Quincy coming back, but if Quincy or Allen come back, then it's almost like, can we make a trade and trade a forward for a center? Because you're almost in a weird spot at that point. I feel like they know that at least one of them is going, and that led them to going pretty hard after Swider.
That is a good point and a good little tracing the breadcrumbs of how they've dropped right there. I agree with it, too. I think the other thing to consider is that they may view Griffin as someone who played out of position last year and think, okay, maybe he's more of a guard. Maybe, and not in a ball-handling sense, but he can play guard for us. So, and maybe that's something. Like, they want to really work on Buddy Boeheim and his ability to handle the basketball, not just for the sake of the team, but, I mean, for the sake of his pro prospects as well. So, I'm wondering if that's another wrinkle to this is, hey, could we potentially have Alan Griffin coming off the bench as that other guard that we could have in our rotation?
And that's been brought up a lot. A lot of people have tweeted at us and said, Griffin in another year in the system, playing his natural position, playing at the top of the zone could be good for him. The only kind of hesitation I have to that is Boeheim said publicly a couple times in press conferences this year that that makes no sense to play Allen at the top of the zone, and it would never work. And
but I think
I don't
that
know,
may
I mean,
have been interpreted as like a circumstance thing, because, again, given the circumstances, yeah, you're probably not playing Allen at the top. But I think if you were to throw in a whole offseason for him to learn it, and he adapts to that new role of maybe coming off the bench, then maybe you're changing your tone a little bit. Because, like, we have seen Boeheim reverse course. I mean, even think about Marek. He said Marek at the five once upon a time was a terrible idea. Now, obviously, I'm not saying he's eating his words, but circumstances change. Marek had to play the five this year. There was no way around it this year.
No, it could totally happen that he changes course. I just figured it was worth bringing up. And yeah, he did play at the top of the zone some. I remember him and Kadari played some minutes in a non-conference game. Forget which game, you'd have to go back and look, but it happened this year, and it was kind of interesting to see, and I don't think it went all that well, and I don't know if that was him just throwing it out there to test it out in non-conference, and then he made up his mind quickly thereafter, but it did happen briefly. So I guess if you want, you can throw a percentage on this, but the way we're talking right now, it does feel like the forward position could just be add Jimmy, that's it. The center position, we're kind of just hoping and praying for Frank. And if not, we really want a transfer to come after that. That's at least my standing on it.
I'm with you. I think there. Let's play the game that Frank is that free agent right now that you have a chance at re-signing. Because I think that's kind of the way it feels to a lot of Syracuse fans right now. If you are under that assumption and are kind of booting him off the roster, but with a chance of coming back, this team is going to add another center, whether it's the return of Frank or whether it's going to be someone from the transfer portal. And I think either are great options. I would prefer to try to develop Frank Anselm because I think there's something there. But I totally understand the other course because of the depth at the center position in the portal, A. And B, if you can find a guy who's got maybe 1 or 2 years of eligibility, ride that wave for this next season, and then you bring someone in for 2022 that you can really put your foot to the pedal for and develop him as your center of the future.
Yeah, because you do have Cole Swider. He could maybe play some of the back of the zone, but you can't count on Jesse playing 40 minutes, and you can't count on Barama's knee right now. So if Barama's knee isn't there, then you're counting on Jesse playing a large chunk of minutes, which feels like too big of a jump for him. You'd like to have someone back there. So hopefully it is.
Listen,
Frank Anselm.
Jesse can't play 40 minutes. Barama probably can't play 30 games. That's the way I see it at the center position right now.
One or the other is not going to happen. So you got to add someone. And if it's Frank, that's easiest. But I don't love the idea of just rolling into next season without Frank and saying, oh, we'll throw Cole Swider back there if it gets dire. That would be really tough because, heck, Jesse could get injured. And then what do you do? I mean, then you're really really screwed because I think we're already assuming Barama is going to have some injury concerns and it doesn't seem like he's going to start the season healthy. I mean, who knows, but that's just my kind of guess on it right now. But anyway, we'll cut the Monday podcast here. I'm sure there will be some more news coming out this week, so subscribe now to the show. Maybe Jimmy Boeheim is already out by the time we're talking because that's how these things work. It probably dropped 15 minutes after we record, but we will discuss Jimmy Boeheim coming if he does officially come this week. We'll discuss all the other transfer portal news. We'll keep you guys updated on football, recruiting throughout the offseason, all that good stuff. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For Tyler, I'm Tim. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.